Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
Speaking of the Dallas team, they have a coach that's very familiar with the Bears, don't they, Aaron Andrews?
Absolutely, Ken. Defensive coordinator for the Cowboys, Matt Eberflus, returning to Chicago, where, of course, he was the head coach here for almost 3 years. He told us this week, I'm grateful for my time here, but he also said there was a good amount of hallway talk this week. The defensive coaches meeting with the offensive coaches. Eberflus saying, I have a lot of knowledge about this team. I know their strengths, their weaknesses. I know how to cover them, and I shared that. Kevin, he also spent time last year in quarterback and offensive meetings with Caleb Williams.
Barely.
So it'll be very interesting to see how this firsthand knowledge pays off.
Yeah, Aaron, he's got the intel. There's no question about that.
That's an important part of being having tactics.
Blitz coming. It's picked up. Oh, Williams has a man left. Bears will flip to Swift, trying to get a flea flicker. It's way up there. Williams recovers, throws a seed, has a man, and it is caught for a touchdown. Luther Burden's first in the league.
Oh my God.
All right, so Matt Eberflus and his return to Chicago. This Cowboys defense trying to figure it out. Williams fire. Guy commit. Touchdown, Chicago.
Fourth and goal. Williams looking. Pressure. Throw.
If you're Eberflus, you're kind of standing on there. What do we stop?
Meaning what?
It's the Bears. They get the win today, 31-14.
You know, in terms of going back to Chicago,
I haven't thought about it.
Very appropriate, trying to get that payback, and you didn't get it. Now, did you?
Didn't come. That big payback didn't come.
I don't know karate, but I know Kareza. And you got sliced up by the Bears offense in the court. Like, I know EA is not like a hyperbolic reporter. And I could just see like the sly arrogance of Matt Eberflus. Like, we know them real well. Yeah, know them so well. You got busted.
I like the, he's been in meetings with him.
Barely.
Just the ones on Hard Knocks.
Right, just the ones after Nick Saban told him that might be a good idea.
Just the ones when I found out the film crew was going to be there and I wanted them to see that I actually am interested in being seen as if I have a relationship with the quarterback.
You know what? While he was here, I didn't like really dislike Matt Eberflus. That wasn't the feeling that I had around him. I felt like in a lot of cases he was dealt a bad hand on things. But the way that article came off and the way that clearly people were deployed by that guy to defend that guy's idiocy.
The Tyler Dunn article.
It really bothered me.
Yeah, and the role in the Trace Armstrong takeover, like the willing role in that, and the hiring of Shane Waldron for such an important thing, when you got to know on some level he's... I mean, he knew that Shane Waldron wasn't the right guy to deal with Caleb and a young quarterback, didn't he? And he still made that hire? Like, he's not that stupid to not realize that what a terrible fit that was.
I saw someone say, and I wish I could give them credit because it was brilliant, but it's the idea of the unfair recycling of coaches. And they were talking specifically, bless you.
Thank you.
Got one more in you?
I'll let you know. All right. Considering it.
And the idea that Matt Eberflus is the prime candidate for that, where people will talk about his resume and be like, yeah, you know, he's a pretty solid defensive coordinator. And I get that the Micah Parsons thing probably lopsided everything for him. But what you're seeing with Dallas's defense after that is proof. Like, he's not able to actually move and bend and adapt. And he hasn't. And he tried it inside. Like, seeing what we all four of us in the group chat knew what they were going to do. That they were going to rush four and they were going to drop seven.
Yeah.
And ordinarily, that can work if you get enough pressure, but you're not going to really be able to generate enough pressure because of the way that your team is built. And as much as he bragged about knowing them, Ben last week was like, yeah, we know him too.
We know him too. We know him plenty, and we know what he's going to do, and we know how vanilla it can be, so we're just going to attack him.
And I had a lot of success against him when I was in the other place that I was at. And you had motivated, like the guys in Dallas aren't motivated to avenge him. The guys at Halas Hall are very motivated to shut him up.
You know who did get avenged yesterday? I didn't even realize he was thinking about it. Was Baker Mayfield on Steve Wilkes. Steve, he called out the other team's defensive coordinator, who's his former head coach. And like,
I like both guys. I love Steve Wilkes, and I felt like he's been done dirty at every head coaching opportunity that he's had. And I think that Carolina team that Steve had was 6-6, and they still fired him. And that was him being the interim, and they fired him. But I love the Baker Mayfield redemption story.
I really admire him.
Over the last 3 years, no one's thrown more touchdowns than him?
I believe it. That's wild. Was it early last year or the year before when I was like, I remember arguing with a co-host. I don't know who it was. Might have been you. You never know.
It wasn't me.
Yeah, you don't remember?
I don't remember.
All right, we're
about,
good.
About what?
About Baker Mayfield. I was saying he's set up to be a really good, solid journeyman wherever he goes the rest of his career, but actually he's locked and loaded in Tampa and carrying them again, so it's even better than that.
I mean, I probably told you that I think that he's better than a journeyman.
Yeah, well, see, so then it wasn't you. All right, yeah. Good talk, good recap.
Yeah, because I'm a fan of all of this stuff that he's doing.
I remember it was a Shoddy and Spiegel back in the day. Yes. Remember that when you
and Shoddy liked to take shots.
Yeah, man, I was Shoddy and Spiegel. Can you believe they gave him top billing? Shoddy.
That's why, yeah. I know that's why you kind of blocked it out of your memory.
I do. Thanks for bringing it back up, Tanny. Or is it Chris? I should call you
wow,
Chris.
There it is.
You know, that's never a good sign when I call that man Chris.
Baker Mayfield in 2023 threw for 4,800 yards. Like that is absurd. Absurd.
Yeah. So, look, we didn't get Matt Eberflus, Judd Nelsoning his way off the field with his hand in the air and Simple Minds playing in the background and the clenched fist of satisfaction. We didn't get him carried off like Buddy Ryan was or anything like that. I didn't even see him walk off. Was he weeping? I like to imagine Matt Eberflus weeping, crying with the entire swarm of bees behind him as his superhero.
No, I spent Breakfast Club with the quarterbacks.
Oh, you couldn't be
oh my
Breakfast
God,
Club.
I forgot.
There's one for everything.
I spent Breakfast Club with the quarterbacks.
Hey, Judd, come here. That's right. Hey, Molly Ringwald, come on over here. That's one of the nicknames.
Yeah,
of
whose
bees.
Nickname's Molly Ringwald on the Bears?
Do you have any
bees.
Redheads?
One of the bees has a little red on him.
All right, so the guy that did all the stuff to Eberflus's defense was Caleb Williams, and there were a lot of breakdowns on him by a couple different people. Here's what Tom had to say about talking to Ben and how he coaches Caleb.
His third game as head coach, trying to turn this really whole organization in the right direction, right?
When we talked to him this week, KB, about how he's coached, how hard he's coached by Ben Johnson, he was blunt. He's tough on me, and he's tough on me in front of everyone else on the team. The point, to prove he's no bigger than anyone else. I will be a better quarterback because of Ben, Williams told us, because of that detail and how demanding that he is. As for whether there's any aftermath, we meet after every practice to go over things. We're close, but it can get spicy. Tom, I think you can relate.
Yeah, you think second and short, and Swift is tackled immediately, and he did not get there.
What do you mean? I had such a player-friendly coach, and Coach Belichick. He always tell me how great I did. You know, there was a high demand of excellence, let's say that. And believe me, when you're a pro quarterback, you'd much rather have your coach be hard than easy. Sometimes the growing pains is I got to get these guys outside of their comfort zone from a coaching standpoint to help them grow and to understand the magnitude and the trust that the organization is giving to them. I think a big part of a head coach that's very in your face and very technical is it does show the rest of the team that if I can pick on Caleb or I can pick on Tom Brady or Peyton Manning, although I don't think they picked on Peyton Manning very much, if they can pick on me, they can pick on anybody.
So you felt that? Did you know that when you were younger, when that was happening, that you were kind of setting the example? Like, does Caleb know that? That's
of
part of this?
Of course not. I used to think, I'm going to kill this guy. Doesn't he know how many Super Bowls I've won? I mean, what are you talking about? And then you break the meeting and you'd see them, and all your teammates would come over to your locker and hug you, be like, you okay, bro? And then, you know, you just get used to it, and that's how everyone gets coached.
That is amazing stuff. As annoying as I found Brady earlier, that is incredible context.
He let us in. Like, that was the most that he's ever let us in.
Dude, the fact that he had won multiple Super Bowls and he's pissed that Belichick is undressing him in front of his teammates and his teammates are coming to his locker to console him, but it has an effect. Tanny went back and found this. The running back, Brandon Bolden, former two-time Super Bowl champ with the Patriots, told a story about what those film sessions looked like.
A year we went to play Seattle in the Super Bowl. We played the Chiefs. The Chiefs put a 40-piece on us. Tom ain't have a good game. None of us did. But we got in there. Lights went off. Bill went in there. Started the film. Stopped the film. Started the film. Stopped the film. Talked some more. Started the film. Tom threw a pick. Stopped it. And we supposed to have the best quarterback in the league. And he plays like this. My dog, TB, say, he reached down and grabbed his and walk smooth out the fucking
damn.
Now with my seat at, I'm against the wall and I can see into lock. That boy went straight to his lock and grabbed his phone. I was like, no, please don't tell me don't do that. Not right now. Hey, 12, you straight? Oh, yeah, I'm good. We didn't have a drop pass in practice for like a month and a half. But he got hectic, boy. He got hectic. Anytime he have a bad game, it really be like, ah. Boy, this next week of practice, nobody but don't false start. Don't say, ooh, I forgot. Cause no, ooh, it's not going to happen, boy.
Wow. The level of practice stepped up that high after Belichick would undress them. And Brady, we're supposed to have the best quarterback in the league, and he can't make that bleeping throw. And Brady just gets up and walks out.
And I mean, now that you hear these stories, and now that Tom is like sharing a little bit more, like here and there, you get why when he had the opportunity to leave, that he left. And you get why him being with the people down in Tampa,
Bruce Arians is a peach.
By comparison, and he coaches quarterbacks hard. And Tom would probably know better than I would, but I will say, like, some of the videos that are coming out about Tom Moore, who was with Peyton Manning for forever, Tom didn't play.
No.
Like, he didn't, and he had a great student in Peyton Manning that learned a lot of this stuff, and then Peyton started doing a lot of the teaching himself.
But the great ones want it. The great ones want it because they know they need it. I thought Kurt Warner was brilliant with us earlier today, and Kurt Warner was talking about Caleb and the hard coaching and was talking about yesterday's game, saying you can't come away from yesterday's game with any other thought except that the hard coaching is working. Is that it's working because Caleb was so in control and everything went so well. And you are the hero and you walk off the hero, but it's the hard coaching that's helping to get it done.
Now, obviously, when we talk about Brady and Belichick, we are talking about the outlier combination of outlier combinations. The coach that's got the most Super Bowls, the quarterback that's got the most Super Bowls, those two people butting heads for their greatness. Here's what Bill Belichick had to say about that dynamic, the relationship, how to make it work, at least how they made it work in New England. Is there anything to be learned here about Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams?
We had a really good relationship, especially in the film room and talking football and all that, that I'll always treasure. And I learned so much from because nobody sees the game better than Tom Brady sees it or saw it. And yeah, go ahead and rip my ass too. Go ahead. And so I got the green light on that. I went ahead and took it. Thing that players always come back to me and say, hey, the first meeting Belichick got on Brady, I'm like, Christ, if he's going to talk to Brady like that, like, I better be
point out something. You pointed out something to him, and if you had to call him out, you called him out. Can you just kind of take us through your inner thinking on that and the wherewithal that takes to not allow somebody to get bigger than the organization because you're trying to win a game and it takes everybody?
Yeah, you know, really, Jim, that was as much a part of Tom as it was me, you know, because there were a couple meetings, you know, where I would say something to Tom after the meeting, like, hey, you know, I didn't really, you know, think that was that bad, but I just wanted to include you and everybody in there with everybody else. And Tom would say, Coach, you have to. If you don't yell at me, then what am I going to do with all the rest of my teammates? I got to be in there with all the rest of them and say, hey, he's yelling at all of us, and like, we all got to do better. But if you leave me out of it, then I don't really have a platform to work from. So yeah, go ahead and rip my ass too. Go ahead. And so I got the green light on that. So I went ahead and took it. But
so that was Bill kind of walking you through like his process. I don't know if the consent was as boisterous as Bill is making it seem to be.
Well, because Bill had the power there. Bill's able to put his thumb on the scale of memory there and take it that way.
And it drove Tom to greatness, but you can also hear that he's still bitter about it. Because once you get to the point of, I think I've got this thing pretty much figured out. And I'm not saying that you should never feel like you stop learning, but that guy pretty much had the quarterback position in that system figured out. And yet, still, any time that he wanted to breathe a little bit as a quarterback, there was Bill Belichick not allowing for it. And that's why, to me, I said it when it happened. Had I been Tom Brady and I had won that championship in Tampa, I'd have taken all my clothes off
at the 50-yard line.
As soon as we won the game, like, not only did I win the championship, but I beat the dude that everyone thinks is going to break all my records. I won the championship after I left the place where I won all the championships and everyone gave credit to the other dude. I'd strip naked and just walked around and be like, look at this. What do you think of this?
But then he couldn't get some of the opportunities that he's gotten, and he wants all the opportunities.
Sure he could.
You think Shoddy would call him after that? I don't think Shoddy's picking up a phone. Shoddy doesn't know.
I think Shoddy is lucky. I have a job.
I think yesterday was a big day
for Shoddy
in the Caleb and Ben relationship, because they get the celebration. You know, they get the moment of confirmation this early in the season that it can work. Like, Ben Johnson's got to say, okay, this is a really good data point in the process. And Caleb gets to introduce him in the post game locker room. Caleb gets to say, let's give you the game ball, coach. He gets to do that thing, you know? And that is a beautiful moment that they're able to have together. And you need that positive confirmation to kind of validate the whole cycle, which is me yelling at you, me coaching your ass hard, you taking it, you having film that we need to break down, me saying nice things about you even in a loss, to be able to say nice things in a win and bad things in a win and have the celebration and let loose is very, very important.